I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Right. Fucking thing sucks.
In 5, 4, 3.
Anyone claiming that America's economy is in decline is peddling fiction.
I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Raising the debt ceilings does not increase our debt. It does not somehow promote profligacy.
I know words. I have the best words. Nobody knows the system better than me, which is why I alone can fix it.
Hey, hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Peddling Fiction podcast. He is Justin Hillbilly Boy Campbell. I am the voice and soul of so-called fiction, Johnny Profita, and we are live peddling fiction once again on a beautiful Friday afternoon here. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Not too bad. Not bad at all. It is, it's finally starting to warm back up after we had about a week of summer for some reason instead of having spring. We just skipped straight into summer, and then it went back into winter for about 3 or 4 days, and now we're actually getting spring for at least the next 2 days before it turns into summer again. Gotta love Midwest weather. If you don't like it, just hang around for a day. It'll change.
Change on you for sure. Well, we've got a lot of stuff for today's show, I think. I even held back a couple of things. And then I saw a few more things while we were doing the intro that I sent over. They're just kind of goofy things that we can maybe throw in there if we have time. But there were actually a couple of things I wanted to follow up from last week, but I don't even think we have time to do that. What should we start with today?
Do we want to start with Joe Biden's continuing mental decline, or with the insanity that has been all of these like campus protests and stuff?
Let's do the campus protest stuff first.
Okay. Well, on that topic, why are they even protesting? Does anybody?
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU is doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either. I came from Colombia. They're on this side. NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
It's classic, dude. Just absolutely classic. Are you ever not disappointed and these types of people that turn out for this just reminds me, these are the people that stand in lines just because they see a line. They have no idea what the line is for, but they're fucking sheep. And so they see other sheep lining up. And so they fall in line.
What's NYU doing? I don't know. Do you know what NYU's doing? I don't know. We were just told
she just turns it on somebody else. The girl next to her. Does anybody know? I don't know. People just said show up here, so I came down from Columbia. It's unreal, man. I wish I was more educated. Yeah. Well, at least these are really good schools that they're allegedly going to. Columbia, NYU. It used to take a couple of brain cells to get in there. Now I think you just have to put on a mask, pierce your face, and write Black Lives Matter over and over and over again on your admittance essay. It really is unbelievable, man. Do you even know why you're here? Well, and she started out so confident too. She got like halfway through the thing and then she's like, oh shit, I don't know the second half of this sentence. Do you know the second half of my sentence? No, you don't know either. You wish you did. Yep, I wish I was more educated. Well, they only had like, I don't know, 6 months to read up on this topic.
Right. This all popped off in fucking October. Where have you been for the last literally right. 6 months?
And I don't understand. I don't even know why they're doing it at all these schools. I guess like they had like some agreement with Israel or something. I don't know. I'm trying to find out.
I mean, the schools have agreement, and that's surprising. And I mean, we know who's running most of these institutes of higher education. I mean,
I don't know if all of these schools did. I thought it was like something with Harvard, but I don't know.
Yale.
I don't really care. I couldn't care any less. But it is just absolutely hilarious that all of these pro-Palestine protesters, who, if I understand at least part of this conflict correctly, they think that the Jews are illegally occupying Palestinian land. And so in order to protest and be pro-Palestine, you go and illegally occupy campus land that doesn't belong to you. And the irony, it's just dripping with irony that is completely lost on these supposed Ivy League geniuses. Really is something. It reminds me, I was listening to Tom Woods. Every once in a while I catch one of his podcasts. It was like a couple weeks ago, and he was actually, I don't think it was his podcast, he might have been doing somebody else's, but he's like, because he has his new COVID book out or whatever, and he's like, yeah, you know, I used to be a badge of honor that I graduated from one of these Ivy League schools, but now I'm just ashamed of it. Just like, yeah, I would be ashamed of my alma mater if it was fucking Harvard or something like that. It's embarrassing.
Well, like, I think Columbia canceled their graduation, like commencement services and stuff. Like, why? Yeah. Why? I don't understand. They were locking Jewish professors out of the campus. Again, why? Did these professors actively bomb Palestinian children, or like, I don't understand. Like, what's the point? They've taken cancel culture to, it's back to like 2014, 2015 levels of like insanity, where you have to cancel everything all the time.
Also, like, what, again, to your point, like, why aren't they protesting the people that are doing the damage? Like, go, well, I guess maybe we know why after the January 6th insurrection, but it's like, why aren't you protesting in Washington? Why aren't you over there? Because they just sent them another fucking $100 billion or $95 billion. I think 60 of it was going to Israel. Or 60 of it, dude. 60 of it go to Ukraine. It's so hard to keep up with all this shit.
Yeah, 60 of it was for Ukraine, and then like 35 of it was for Israel, and I can't remember what.
Right. Yeah. And then the rest of it'll trickle down to us, I'm sure. So it's like, why aren't you protesting the people that are funding the wars, dropping the bombs? Instead, you're beating up on this little professor or this other Jewish kid that just wanted to go to class, or you're protesting the campus, your school. Like, shouldn't you be studying? Don't you have better things to do? I was like, why don't you go get a fucking job so that you're not going to be crazy in debt when you graduate with your worthless degree? And then, of course, I see the article that I don't even think I sent this to you, that George Soros is paying all these fucking idiots. That's why they're there. Of course, that's why they're there, because George Soros is funding it. And that's why they don't know why they're there. I'm surprised she didn't just say, I don't know, but this guy just gave me a bunch of money to show up, so here I am.
Well, they have like websites that all of these fucking psychopaths like sign up on for like activist shit. So whenever there's something going on, there's a protest somewhere, or there's a rally, aka riot, or you know, whatever they're gonna be doing, they just like get notifications, get an email or a text or whatever, and it's like, hey, this is going on, we need you to show up. You show up, you know, register that you showed up, and you get paid for showing up. It's like it's like a fucking gig industry.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's not bad work if you can get it.
Corey, yeah, there's a small part of me. Okay, it's becoming a considerably larger part over time. But like I wish I had thought about this stuff when I was younger and just become a completely subversive element in all of that. Like sign up for this shit, go to these rallies and then get these like go be the Fed in the middle of the group that like gets these people to do dumb bullshit that gets them all arrested or shot or something. Like, you know, get them all stirred up just enough and then dip out and watch the shit show unfold. Like, and get paid to do it. Because nobody knows that you're a subversive element in it. They're just like, you know, spamming this stuff out to whoever, assuming that they're all psychopath progressives that sign up for this stuff. Because generally speaking, conservatives don't, you know, people who are, or people who are just like sane, don't sign up for this kind of stuff. Don't show up for this kind of stuff. They don't think about doing things subversively to fuck with these groups. Like we have allowed decency and common courtesy to be our downfall. Like we should have been playing every bit as dirty as those motherfuckers this whole time, if not even more so.
Right. Yeah. So this is an article from Zero Hedge. There's organized branches of the Soros-funded Students for Justice in Palestine. So that's who's organizing all these protests. At three colleges, the protests are being encouraged by paid radicals who are fellows, quote unquote, of the Soros-funded group called the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, the USCPR. It provides up to $7,800 for its community-based fellows and between $2,880 and $3,660 for its campus-based fellows in return for spending 8 hours a week organizing campaigns led by the Palestinian organizations. They are trained to rise up to revolution. The radical group received at least $300,000 from Soros Open Society Foundation since 2017 and also took in an additional $355,000 from the Rockefeller Brothers since 2019, according to the New York Post. So there you go. Money well spent.
Yeah, I mean, they're accomplishing what they wanted to with it.
Yeah. Yep, yeah, and it's catching on. I saw the my old stomping grounds. They're protesting over there at Northwestern University. I grew up a few blocks away from their stadium. It used to be called Dyke Stadium. Now I think it's, and then it was Ryan Field. You're not allowed to call Dyke things Dykes anymore. It was somebody's name, but they changed it to Ryan Field. I don't know if it's still Ryan Field. I haven't been there in quite some time, but here they are. This can be part one of our Shithole Chicago segment, since this is still the Chicagoland area. This is in Evanston, the city just north of Chicago. And yeah, the Chicago is Toast is a pretty good follow on Twitter. But he's asking why the University of Chicago hasn't organized their protests yet. Yeah, you got to get in line. Set up some tents. Soros needs to send some money over that way. It's great. Yep. Because Northwestern, when you think of, you know, Palestinian impression, I think of Northwestern University, Evanston, Illinois.
That's yes, totally correct. You know, that's whenever I'm thinking of Palestinian oppression, the first thing that comes to mind is all of these Ivy League universities. Clearly, they're the ones who, I mean, all right. So if you read the guy who self-immolated at the Trump trial a week or so ago, if you read his manifesto, okay, Harvard for sure, but like I don't know about Yale and Columbia and NYU, Northwestern. I don't know if those are at the top of my list for, you know, Palestinian oppression.
That wasn't a pretty interesting manifesto.
I did wasn't read it? That. Wasn't it? Yeah.
We talked about it on the happy hour for a little bit.
I don't know that was. Yeah, that was pretty wild because I guess I had sent it to you like right before the happy hour started, and I figured y'all would get to it at some point. Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
I had a couple of things right ideas, wrong conclusion, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame when you find out he's an ANCOM and like he figured out what the problem was, but his solution is communism. Like,
right. Yeah, capitalism, of course, has failed, and I'm going to light myself on fire now to prove my point. I started a podcast, I guess, you know, it takes all kinds. That's what I always say.
It's because you're not committed enough to the cause, Johnny.
Yes. Oh, man. All right, well, I don't know what's going to stop these protests, I guess, like, because we're coming into the summer now. So they can go on forever hanging out in these tents. I have seen there's been some pushback from some of these camp, like the police and everything on these campuses. And then, of course, the AOCs of the world are outraged that these peaceful protesters would be removed, forcefully removed from other people's property. Isn't it funny how they're always outraged when it's on somebody else's property? Could you imagine if AOC was outraged when the January 6th protesters were removed from her property in Washington, D.C.?
Right. You can only protest if the protest is on the right side.
Yes, and far away from them.
Yes, yes. Don't
want it in their own backyard.
Yeah, don't come protest here. I mean, what? How many Democrat senators voted for that spending bill that allocates all that money to Ukraine and Israel? Like, okay, all of them? Right, like, right. I think in the Senate, it was like maybe three Democrats who didn't vote for it, and then in the House, it was. I don't think any Democrats didn't vote for it in the House. I think it was 100% Democrats in the House. So, like, okay, they're sending money to Israel. They just voted to send money to Israel. They are the anti-Palestine ones in this equation. Like, go protest them. Not go set up shop at the fucking square in your campus. Go to Washington. They're the ones who are sending Israel money so they can continue bombing Palestine or Palestinians, whatever you mean.
Yeah. I suppose the silver lining is at least they're not trying to block traffic and ruin other people's lives. At least they're just interrupting these fucking worthless schools. So I guess any minute that you're not spent being propagandized in some university or learning some bullshit gender theory crap is a win.
Well, and it's like finals time. I bet you they've all got like punch cards that if they can show that they were like, they've got somebody that's out there like punching the cards. So you can like show that, hey, look, I was at the protest this day, so I'm exempt from finals this year.
Do they still do finals? I thought like maybe tests are racist or something.
Probably. I have actually seen articles that talk about how testing is racist.
Yeah, it's racist, and also just like my mental health, you know, it's not good for my mental health, all the stress of finals, so we should probably just do away with that, do away with grades. Just let me borrow a bunch of money, you give me the worthless piece of paper, and then I'll have Joe Biden and company force other people to pay back my debt while I work at Starbucks. Until the robots replace me. Final solution. Oh, that was pretty good. I see what you did there. Pretty funny for an aspiring midwit.
All right. What do you want to move into now? Joe Biden constantly.
Let's go into. Yeah, let's do the Joe Biden. Well, let's discuss his new budget proposal, which includes a 44.6% capital gains tax and an additional 25% tax on unrealized gains, but only for people making over $100 million. This, I'm almost like speechless as how stupid and destructive this could pot like this could be. I don't know if this is an example of just tell me you have no idea how anything works without telling me you have no idea without how anything works, or this is just their idea of like completely destroying whatever is left of this economy. So 44.6 on capital gains. So I think everybody that's listening knows what capital gains tax is, but you know, if you make an investment, you take a risk, you buy some stock at $100 a share, it goes up to $120 a share. That is an unrealized capital gain of $20 if you don't sell the stock. As soon as you do sell the stock, you realize those gains, and then you pay the capital gains tax, which, depending on how long you held the stock, is 15% or 20%. If you held it for over a year, I think you pay 20%. Anything less than a year is short term. If you hold it up for more than a year, you pay 15%, and anything less than a year, you pay 20%. If you sell your house or something like that, those are capital gains. So he wants to bump that up to 44.6%. I don't know where the 0.6 comes in. Why not just make it 50% at that point? But the highest level since 1922. There's a map that shows the last time somebody tried to propose a capital gains hike of this magnitude and how the election turned out. But this is an attack on the very people that Joe Biden claimed. Yeah, this is so previously set by Jimmy Carter was the previous high proposal. And as you can see there, it was an actual red wave that took over. I don't know if you can attribute all of that to just the capital gains thing. Jimmy Carter was not exactly popular, but what was I saying? Oh, yeah, the attack on the middle class. So you can't really save any money, right? You're not earning any interest on your savings. They force you into the Wall Street casino. They force you into these 401k retirement funds and everything like that. And they're just taxing the ever-loving shit out of you through that.
Well, I mean, that's like all of – if you have a – like a big company job and you have a 401k or something like that, a retirement plan, all of that is invested by probably BlackRock or Vanguard. For as much as people make such a big deal about, oh my God, BlackRock and Vanguard hold all the stock and all of that. Yes, because they're the biggest handlers of all of your 401ks. That's the reason that they show up on that. Not necessarily something nefarious, not saying that they don't do nefarious shit, but that's the reason they're the largest stockholder in like literally every fucking thing, is because that's where your retirement account is. But never mind that. Like, okay, are we going to start getting billed with our taxes every year? Like whenever we file our taxes, are we going to have to pay unrealized gains on our 401ks, on our retirement plans? A better question, when the stock market takes the complete shit and the whole fucking thing dumps out, are they going to give us a refund on all of that? What about our unrealized losses? Do we get
no refund there? Oh man, I'd love to get some unrealized losses refunds. Good grief. Yeah. So, well, that's where we're headed, right? The 44% is on realized gains. So that would just happen to everybody, as far as I understand. The 25%, of course, because it's so ridiculous and extreme and a violation of everything that America is supposed to stand for and every, like, just finance law. Like, it's just, it's the most ridiculous thing ever. Like, imagine having to pay a tax on a gain that you haven't earned yet. Imagine paying an income tax when you don't have any income, an income that you could have if you had, like, earned it or something. It's ridiculous. So they're like, oh, well, it's only people that are making over $100 million, so don't worry about it. again, this is how they always do it. This is how they did the income tax to begin with. It's just on the Rockefellers and the Carnegies and the Vanderbilt. Like, you don't have to worry about it. It's not for you. You're paying all these taxes on imports and exports, and that's what's crushing you. So we'll get rid of those. We'll get rid of all those taxes. We just need to tax Vanderbilt and Carnegie and Rockefeller, you know, 1%, just 1% on the 1%. And now look where we are. Of course, as soon as they get the fucking camel's nose under the tent with this, that's it. Like, they've completely shifted the Overton window. Now we can tax things you haven't even earned yet. So if you own a house, which fewer and fewer people do these days, and it goes up in value, imagine if your house goes up $25,000 in value over the year. You have to pay a 25% of that in taxes, but you still live in the house. Like, you haven't sold the house. So where are you going to get the money for that? Right. How's that even going to fucking work? It's all just so ridiculous. But yeah, as soon as they get the authority to do this, they're going to ratchet down the requirements to apply the tax to. And they're going to ratchet up the percentage of the tax. It starts at 25. You think it's ever going to be lower than that? Of course not. Have taxes ever really gone down? Absolutely not. Has the threshold for taxes ever gone down? No. So yeah, $100 million now, and then it'll be $50 million. And then when all those people fucking leave the country, it'll be $25 million, and then it'll be $10 million, then it'll be $5 million, then it'll be $1 million. Or, you know, before it even gets to that point, you'll be earning $5 million working at Starbucks or being a teacher because they've completely destroyed the dollar through hyperinflation. So you'll be subject to this, even though you're making $100 million a year, but you can't even afford to buy a cup of coffee twice a week. You'll still be subject to this 25% unrealized capital gains. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. Like, this is the most retarded fucking thing I've ever fucking heard coming from Joe Biden. That's saying a lot. And I just can't imagine that Nancy Pelosi is going to let this happen. There's no way Nancy Pelosi is going to pay a 44.6% capital gains and on top of that, a 25% unrealized, because that would apply to her. She makes over $100 million. She's worth over $100 million. So that applies to her. So she's going to pay fucking 70% fucking tax.
Right.
On realized and unrealized capital gains. The best trader the world has ever fucking seen. I doubt it. I highly doubt it.
Well, and speaking of, you know, some of the most insane shit that we've ever heard from Biden and tanking our economy and whatnot.
I cut the national debt by $1,700,000,000.
We literally cut the federal debt in half by $1.4 trillion.
$1,700,000,000. $1,700,000,000 cut.
We cut the debt by $1.7 billion in the last 2 years.
Let me say that again. $1.7 trillion.
I reduced the budget by $1.7 billion. Reduce the debt.
We cut the federal debt in half. Fact.
In the first 2 years of my administration, I cut the debt by $1.7 trillion.
$1.7 billion.
$1.7 trillion. $1.7 trillion.
$1.7 trillion.
$7 billion.
$1.7 trillion. $1.7 billion. It's a trillion dollars. Not billion, trillion dollars.
$1.7 trillion. Hear me?
No one's ever reduced the debt that much.
and still nobody ever has, because he did not. Regardless of, you can pick any number that he mentioned there. $7 billion, $1.7 billion, $1.7 trillion. Pick a number. He didn't reduce the debt by any of that. The debt has exponentially increased every year under Joe Biden and every year under every president. At least in my lifetime. I think he was talking about the deficit.
Maybe. I think one time it was actually explained that what he meant by that was not the national. He didn't cut the national debt by $1.7 trillion or $1.7 billion. He cut the deficit spending, except that he didn't actually cut the deficit spending. It was basically the Republican House refusing to pass a lot of bullshit that the Democrats were trying to push through is why the deficit spending got cut. But
yeah, isn't it amazing? Like, he proposes like a $10 trillion budget and they're just like, no, this is ridiculous. We'll only spend $6 trillion. And he's like, I cut the debt. It's like, no, dude, you were actually trying to grow it by a lot more. They just didn't go for it. You didn't have the votes. It's quite the spin. It's quite the fucking spin. But yeah, okay. They spent, I think the deficit, yeah, during like COVID or something, it was like $4 trillion. It was crazy. They spent seven. They took in three something, I think, in taxes. And so it was like, yeah, we have a $3+ trillion deficit. And now it's only 1.7. So I cut it by 1.7.
Right. And that, like, that's the insane thing that the average fucking midwit doesn't understand is when they say that they cut the deficit, they don't mean that they actually like saved money. They just mean last year, like you said, last year we spent seven. This year we're only going to spend four. So we cut our deficit. It's like, yeah, but you only took in three. So you still outspent what you like.
We're still running $1 trillion plus deficits every year. Right. Not good. Not good.
But I mean, we all know that Joe just reads whatever they put on the teleprompter. Like, he's not actually there when he's saying all this stuff.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years.
Oh, dude, he Ron Burgundy that so fucking hard. That was like the best Ron Burgundy that he's ever done, and he's got a couple of them.
And then look, like, right here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, then he's like, "Wait, why did they say pause? What does the pause mean?" Oh, then it hits him. He's like, "I was supposed to pause. I wasn't supposed
to." Yeah, I was supposed to pause so they could chant four more years on cue. It's, dude, it is so, who are these people? I need to see the crowd.
I need to see the crowd
of people that just follow these. Yeah. Should we go to these? We got to do some, investigative research. We're going to send you out there.
Four more years, pause. I'm going to start chanting, four more years, pause. Four more years, pause.
Oh my God. It really is something. That's like one of the most confused that he's looked to. Pause. Why am I saying pause? And then after another pregnant pause, like he actually pauses after he says pause. So he does it. And then while he's trying to figure out why the fuck he just said pause, he's like, that doesn't make any sense. And you can just see the rat on the hamster wheel in his head slowly turning. And then finally it clicks because they start chanting. God damn, is this hilarious, man. This guy is running the biggest government the world has ever seen. He's in charge, allegedly. This is fucking insane. It's reached levels that I never thought were possible. I thought they would have yanked him by now. But he's running for re-election. How is that going to go? We're six months away? 7 months away from the fucking election? Not even.
Yeah.
Yeah. April's almost over. The year's almost half gone.
Well, interestingly enough, the election happens on November 5th this year. So that's, there are things that we could do to celebrate the election if we wanted to take a page from Guy Fawkes. Just throwing it out there. Just saying. I know where you can get some fertilizer and diesel fuel. You know, just saying. Just throwing it out there.
Well, that means nothing to me because I'm not some fucking hillbilly.
Well, that's probably good. That's probably good.
Oh, God. Yeah, man. Imagine what we can do in four more years. I have been imagining. It's an interesting thought experiment. I will give you that. Imagine, yeah, 44.6% capital gains tax. Like, I would, I will never set foot in the U.S. again if the if something like that comes to fruition. Like a capital gains tax higher than it is right now, and then the unrealized, like an unrealized tax. If they said it was 1% on $100 million, I'd be like, yep, I'm out of here. I'm gone, absolutely gone. And none of these fucking billionaires are gonna stay there. None of their investments will, like, they will avoid that like the fucking plague. So they'll all be off to Puerto Rico until 2035 when that expires. And then, you know, retarded Puerto Rico probably votes for statehood. And then they'll just go someplace else. They'll buy fucking residency in Panama or something like that. Go to El Salvador. I don't know. It doesn't matter. They've got all the money in the world. They can go wherever the fuck they want. They're never going to pay that. But once you give them the authority to, guess who can't fucking leave? You, like, you fucking broke ass loser with a couple hundred grand in your 401k. And they're just going to start chipping away at that. That's who's going to get stuck paying this fucking bill. The very people who put this retard in office. So, forgive me if I have no sympathy for these people. It'll be the like that stupid chick that doesn't know why she's at NYU protesting. She's going to be the one that pays the 25% unrealized capital gains.
Can I just renounce my citizenship and be like, no, I'm not paying any of this shit anymore?
No, you can renounce your citizenship, but you have to pay to do that now because you are in fact a slave. The last I checked, it cost at least $2,500 to fill out the paperwork. And if you have any businesses or something, you have to pay like an exit tax on that. The value of the bit, it's like the value of the business or like a percentage of the value of the business, something like you basically have to sell your business to move. So yes, you could renounce your citizenship, but it will cost you thousands of dollars. Land of the free, home of the brave. Again, which is why that whole statist argument, oh, if you don't like it, you can leave. No, you can't. No, you can't. You cannot.
You said it's only $2,500. This isn't sounding that bad.
Yeah. Well, that was the last time I checked. That was like a couple of years ago. I mean, yeah, it probably would be because if you do leave and you haven't renounced your citizenship, technically you still owe taxes in the U.S. on your income. It's the only fucking real country that does that. There's some other country in Africa nobody's ever heard of. Nobody's ever earned income there before, unless you count, like, you know, taking down a fucking animal or something, hunting. Yeah, the U.S. still would technically be able to enforce an income tax on anything that you earn. Yeah.
$2,300 or $2,350.
$2,350?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's probably a steal. Because once they get these other things in place, they're going to ratchet that up because there's going to be a flight like you wouldn't believe of people renouncing their citizenship, which is why it's also so funny that all these people are trying to come to America now. It's like you guys are literally jumping on the Titanic as it's sinking. It's like, are you high? What are you doing? What are you fucking doing? Getting onto this sinking ship right now. It can't be worse than where you're coming from.
Ooh, I can renounce my citizenship, claim that I'm an undocumented alien with no country of origin, no home. I am now homeless. I have nowhere to call my own. And then I can get like a $10,000 debit card.
It's not a bad idea.
Fuck,
you could. Your whole family, you could probably get half your family to renounce on that debit card. Fund it.
Like, so I just need to get my stepson to buy the house that he's living in from us. And then, cause my name's not on anything here. This was all my wife's family stuff. So whenever we did this move, I was like, it's your family stuff. You put it in your name, not mine. Man, if I can sell that house, then I really do not own anything. Like, nothing's in my name. Yeah. I could renounce my citizenship with like no real recourse. Oh, fuck. I've man, in the coming times, the only thing that matters is winning. And however you go about winning, that's going to be the right way. Like, I think, yeah, I'm officially Ukrainian now.
Yes. Can you give me some fucking money? Yeah. I need another fucking 10 billion. I do want to talk about that. I saw this article the other day about corruption that maybe I can get into in a second, but on the point of renouncing your citizenship, I'm dead serious about, like, one of my goals over the next year plus, next year and a half, is to stack as many residencies or temporary citizenship things as I can around the world. Like, that's literally the only thing that I'm focused on right now. And every country that is, like, sort of a place that you'd like to go, they're making it harder and harder to qualify for it. Panama used to be, I don't know if anybody listened to the episode I did with Mikkel Thorpe, did his podcast. We had him on here. We talked about this, but he's based out in Panama, and it used to be very, very easy to get the Panama one. And it's very desirable. I think you only have to spend 2 days a year there to maintain it. And it was, or right now it's, you can buy it for basically a $250,000 investment in real estate there. In October, that's going up to $500,000. So I was just reading an article today. Spain's getting rid of their golden visa or whatever. Mexico's strengthening their requirements to get it. It's still very attainable at the moment, but, like, the writing on the wall is, like, nobody's going to want to be in the U.S. anymore. And all these other countries that are more and more favorable to liberty, freedom, capitalism, they're going to make it harder and harder to, as more and more people are flooding, like, fucking Canada is a shithole. And that's just sort of leaking down, and, you know, it starts up at Canada and it rolls downhill. And so people from Canada and the US have been flooding into Mexico, flooding into South America. And because they can't even afford to live in their countries, even if they wanted to, they can't afford to retire there. And most of them don't want to live in their countries anymore, especially after the COVID stuff. So yeah, they're flooding into these countries, and the countries are like, all right, you know, that's enough. Now we got to make it harder and harder for people to legally come here, while America is literally doing the exact opposite. So if I could give anybody a piece of advice, yeah, put yourself in a position where you can renounce that U.S. citizenship, because it will become an albatross around your neck. They own you. They own all of us right now. You just haven't realized it yet. And you're going to want to get out of there at some point, or you're going to at least want to have the option to. And I don't know where that one, I don't know what that, you know, that beacon on a hill is going to be. So don't put all your eggs in one basket. Give yourself some options and start planning for it now, because it's coming. It has to be coming. You cannot, like, just look at Joe Biden. That is the state of America right now. He's just a fucking example of it. He's an example of exactly where we are as a country, and the ideas that are being put forth. You cannot run a country that way. You can't do it. And it's very frustrating to just watch all of these countries destroy beautiful fucking places in the world to live with retarded ideology, just absolute crap. All this socialism, communism, horseshit, destroying beautiful places that you could be living, the utopia we could be living in if we didn't elect these kinds of people. And there's fewer and fewer places that you can actually go to get away from it. And it's going to be harder and harder to get into those places in the coming years. So yeah, start working on that. Start getting out of debt. And yeah, that's my advice. It's my 2 cents.
One, I mean, like you were saying, you know, it doesn't matter how rich you are. Like, they're coming after you. This is the IRS is using AI to target the middle class. What we've learned is that the IRS is in fact, the IRS in fact has been using AI to access bank accounts of American citizens without any kind of search warrant. This is something that was just discovered by an undercover journalist. The IRS has claimed that they have access to every single person's bank account.
What we have learned is that the IRS, in fact, has been using AI to access bank accounts of American citizens without any kind of a search warrant or even without any specific claim that they have committed a crime. So this was something that was discovered by an undercover journalist. And what they found is that the IRS has claimed that they have access to every single person's bank account. This person also indicated that they've been working with the Department of Justice and that they have absolutely no problem whatsoever going after the little guy to make sure that they are paying their taxes. This is such a blatant violation of the Fourth Amendment that we have, Jim Jordan and I, sent a letter to the IRS demanding that they provide additional information about what they are doing with AI and what they are doing to protect the civil rights of American citizens.
So, Congresswoman, what's the end game here? Because at the end of the day, you can't put the AI genie back in the bottle, and it's so easy to use these technologies in the way that you're suspecting the IRS is. How do you protect American citizens and our constitutional rights?
Well, one of the things is we need a new administration in November because this administration has been absolutely lawless in terms of its surveillance of us, of members of Congress, of local officials, of people who are protesters, of voters. This administration has completely ignored the Bill of Rights, whether it's the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment. They have weaponized the government against us. So what?
Yeah. Well, at least they wrote a letter. Thank you for that. Did we not just have a vote on this? Did we not just have a vote on this last week, Justin?
Right.
Can we pull up the voting record of, because it's not just this administration, by the way. There are plenty of fucking Republicans that just voted to surveil you without any fucking warrant whatsoever. They don't give a shit, dude. The funniest thing is that this had to come up for a reason. It's like, we need to revisit this. We've been illegally fucking spying on everybody. Should we continue to do this? And lo and behold, the vast majority of them voted, yes, we should. We should absolutely be able to spy on every fucking American citizen, their bank account, anything that we want without a warrant, without any sort of due process. I'll go way out on a limb. Like Mike Lee, Thomas Massie were probably the only two fucking people that voted against this.
Yeah, it was a very, very small number who actually opposed it.
Yeah, right.
I'm trying to find the vote itself.
It's absolutely ridiculous that this could... The Fourth Amendment is pretty fucking clear. It's not even one of these things that's like open to interpretation. It doesn't have any of these weird clauses in it that they can kind of pervert. And yet here we go. They actually, like, first they were just doing it and saying that they weren't doing it. Oh no, there's no mass data collection. There's no spying. There's nothing like that going on. We're not illegally spying on people. We're not illegally collecting data. No, no. We always go through the warrant process. And then it's like, okay, yeah, it exists. And it's up for a vote again. Should we keep doing it? Yes. Yes, we should.
Well, and they use the same bullshit just fucking 9/11 for why they need to keep doing it because terrorists and when has that ever actually been a problem that required you to be spying on everybody? Like literally never. Like not even leading up to 9/11 because y'all already had all of the information you needed on that. And that before it ever happened.
Right. And wouldn't it be a shame if these terrorists were able to get a bunch of money in their bank accounts to do things? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We funded all of the fucking terrorist organizations. You're sending them our tax dollars right now as we speak. You did it before. Like they're literally giving them the money and then saying, oh, we need to spy. We need to be able to spy on everybody to make sure that they don't have any money.
Right. Like the federal government doesn't need to monitor bank accounts to see who the terrorists are. You're sending them direct fucking deposits.
Right. It's
like, you know what their bank accounts look like.
You are creating the terrorists. Yeah, it's unreal. And then, yes, you getting six consecutive payments of $5,000 is suspicious behavior. And we need to look into that. because yes, technically it's under the $10,000 limit, but that's because you knew there was a limit. And we need to look into that because you just made 25 grand. We can't have that. We can't have that. It's that while we're taking in millions of dollars illegally ourselves every year, we're insider trading on everything illegally. Of course, it's legal for them. And then, yes, we're sending Zelensky a bunch of money. Dude, Zelensky, this article, what's that guy's name? Seymour, Philip Seymour or something like that. He's written a bunch of articles on this, but it's like the money that goes over there, right? Like they know that a certain percentage of this money is just going into the pockets of Zelensky and all of his fucking cronies. Like every time our fucking government gives money to these foreign countries, they know that probably the vast majority of it, I don't know how much they calculate actually goes to the purported cause, but like, I guess Zelensky like got in trouble for pocketing too much from all the other people. He's like, dude, listen, we all take a fucking cut of this, but you're just like, wait, you're taking way too much, dude. Like, you're taking way too, it was like 400 million or something. It's just like, dude, like we all got to wet our beaks a little bit here. You can't be taking that much from the fucking coffers.
Well, and like I know we've talked about it before. Ukraine has never been given a sniff at joining NATO because they are literally the most corrupt country in Europe. Like they have never even been given a consideration to join NATO or anything else because everybody acknowledges that it's the most corrupt country over there. Like, and now all of a sudden we're going to send them just like unlimited billions of dollars and nobody questions like where is this
money? We're not even gonna audit it or anything like that. There's no accountability. Even if there was an audit, like that doesn't really mean anything. Pentagon fails its fucking audit every year.
Literally every year.
Trillions of dollars just missing. It's reached a level of cartoonishness that's just like you never even thought it was possible. And this is coming from pretty cynical people. Like, I don't know anybody that's more cynical of government than me. And it's surpassing my wildest expectations. I'm just like, holy shit, dude. Holy shit. Really? Like, this is an unwinnable war. Everybody has known it's an unwinnable war since day one. And we're still giving them tens of billions of dollars over and over and over again. We give them $100 billion. We make them buy our old weapons from us. So the weapons company, so, you know, Zelensky gets, and all his cronies get a bunch of money. They take their cut. Then they use what's left over to buy our old stuff. So the weapons companies get to unload all this old stuff that they have and get a bunch of more money to build new stuff. And the politicians get, the money from the lobbyists, from the fucking military industrial complex. They're all making money hand over fist. And what's happening to you? You're taking it up the fucking ass left and you're getting pig roasted by these people. And now they're coming for your capital gains, realized or unrealized. How you liking it so far? Yeah, they're going to forgive your student loan debt. Yeah, thank you very much. Oh, you're going to give me 20 grand? Great. Great. There's still 60 left over. I have a worthless degree. I have no fucking value in the world. I have no gumption. I've got no nothing. And by the way, you put what was the rate of student loan debt before the government got involved in loaning money? Was it zero? I think it was zero. There was no such thing as student loan debt. You literally waited tables at a fucking diner for 3 months to go to Harvard in 1962. That's all it took. A summer job, part-time summer job, working for tips. And now look at you. Because the government's there to help, of course. They're there to help themselves to every fucking penny that you earned in your entire lifetime. They're ringing you like a bar rag. That's why they gave you that number the second you were born. so that they can keep track of every fucking penny you've ever earned. They can use AI to comb your bank accounts to make sure you're not keeping anything from them. And they're going to use that number to bilk you for everything that you've got. Oh, man. This is a depressing Friday episode.
Well, let's perk things up a little bit. You want to do your, you got shithole Chicago segment today, but like shithole California is giving you all a run for your money this week. Where was it? Oh, this one is amazing.
The fight.
Yeah. Where? Oh crap. What'd I do with it? I just had it.
Oh, I hope we didn't lose it.
I
deleted the
button. Oh, there it is. All right. This is amazing. So this is the mayor of San Jose.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah, but he's a bunch of young
I would not let him go in there if we can. I don't know.
You want to say something stupid?
So I'm doing an interview, sir.
Are you doing an interview? Yeah. Okay, yeah, moving on. I work right there. I'm talking on the phone. You got a problem?
Yeah, we're just trying to do
it. Okay, cool. I appreciate you, Mike. Yeah, I'm going to go do what the going to do right before you walked up. You know, that's the way it goes. First of all, hold up. What the no, bro. Hold up. No. Let go.
Hold on a second. Let's go.
I'm smacking you right now. Okay. I will smack you.
The poor mayor, he's like, can we not do this? Oh my god,
the mayor is such a puss too. He's got to back away. So for those that are just listening to the audio, this douchey mayor is giving some interview. I don't know why. This black dude rolls up talking on his phone, tries to get in somewhere, and he's got this security guard that's, I don't know, it looks like he's my size. Not a very physical, intimidating presence. And he's getting his ass kicked trying to be a security guard.
Security guard fights like a bitch. They need to work on their security.
How could you hire this guy? This is like a DEI security guard, except he's white. I don't get it. And why did he put down that club? I'd be kneecapping him with that. It's his only chance. He's like playing patty cake with him. He's got nothing. It's got nothing. Dude, this is like he went to Harvard University and got a degree in security. And he read about how to fucking be a security guard in a book from a teacher. And this is him trying to reenact or trying to implement his degree.
Bum fights are more entertaining than this. This has just gotten sad.
Wait for him to go for the fucking leg sweep. Yeah.
There you go. Sweep the leg, Johnny.
In his defense, it's probably can he get it? Nope, he can't get the takedown.
He missed.
He's got good takedown defense. I will say it's probably pretty difficult to fight in a suit. I've never done that before. Maybe that's what's holding them back.
As soon as you realize the fight's about to pop off, like drop your jacket and
That guy threw his backpack down.
Right. That's how you can tell this guy's never been in a fight before. Because, like, there are certain things that if you've been in a fight, take off your jacket, drop anything that's going to be weighing you down, like, free yourself up, let's get ready to fucking roll. Like, if a fight pops off, take off your jacket, unbutton your cuffs, and let's fucking do this. Like, I don't know why.
You ever seen those black chicks? They start taking off their earrings and shit.
Right. Like, even John Wick unbuttons his jacket, so he's like, this guy's still buttoned up and everything, right? Like, even in the movies, they at least unbutton the jacket, so they're a little bit less encumbered.
Oh, my God, that was the funniest. Oh, you're doing an interview? That's great. Fuck you.
I'm just going to keep doing whatever it is I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm going to do my thing. But what I was doing right before you guys fucking stopped me. And what, this is your security guard? 5 foot nothing. 100 and nothing. It's like, fuck. That is Rudy Rudiger trying to be a fucking security guard. This dude's like, yep, no, this isn't gonna happen. This isn't gonna work for me. Oh man, that's classic. Classic DEI security guard.
Well, speaking of some other confrontations, Alec Baldwin got confronted to and screamed at about, you know, that he needed to proclaim free Palestine. Well, Piers Morgan interviewed the chick that was screaming at Alec Baldwin. I don't know if any of y'all caught that. This is quite possibly the most entertaining 2 minutes of television that Piers Morgan has ever and will ever do.
I didn't see this, no.
Fucking Morgan! You're asking too many questions!
Just for the record, my name is actually just Piers Morgan.
What's wrong with saying free Palestine? Piers, can you say free Palestine for me?
I think...
Piers, can you say free Palestine for me?
If you stop shouting, yeah.
I want you to say it.
Yes, I'm happy to say...
Okay, yeah. I'm not going to shout.
If you just...
Mr. Piers Morgan,
if you just keep quiet, I can answer your question. Yes, I'm very happy to say
that... I'm never quiet, Piers.
Sorry, you're still talking.
I'm never quiet.
Okay, but try.
I'm never
otherwise,
quiet,
I can't.
Piers. I cannot
you ask
shut
me to
up.
Do something. If you don't shut up, I can't give you the answer.
Oh my God.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I'll shut up for you.
I absolutely Piers. Believe that Palestine Piers. Should be free. Yes.
Oh, okay. And how are we going to do that, Piers? Give us the answers, Piers Morgan. Give us the fucking answers. Okay, how are we going to make Palestine free?
Yeah, if it was as simple
how
as
are we
me,
gonna do it?
If it was as simple as me just giving a simple answer now, it would have been done by now. A very complicated issue, but let me ask you again, again, seriously, why did you do what you did to Alec Baldwin, and what did you hope to achieve?
Alec Baldwin, look at me, Piers, honestly, Piers, look at my body, look at this, look at me, Piers, I was maimed by a white man.
Listen, I understand you're a performative artist. I understand you're trying to make everybody laugh.
You made
your joke about your terrible maiming.
You're lashing me.
Right. Okay, I'm not lashing you.
This is the third white man to beat me this week.
Right.
Third white man. Yesterday, my white boyfriend beat the shit out of me. This is the third white man. Monday was Alec. The second day was another white man. Third day, Piers Morgan is beating me up on international TV.
What? How the fuck did she make it on to his show?
All right. So she has a YouTube channel. It's called Crackhead Barney, and she like does these like basically she does these like man on the street interviews where it's her acting like a fucking psychopath. And oh my God, it's amazing.
She always had the white like stuff on.
Not always, but
I feel like
well, a lot of the times, yes.
I love dude. Yeah. How did they get a clip of our happy hour? We were recording it. No. But dude, how about the I love how they had the microphone just like taped to her fucking tit. She had her fucking shirt pulled up. Like imagine being the chick that gets you ready to go on air. Where am I going to put the mic?
Oh, there's another clip where she had like a wig on and was like losing her shit and throwing her head around and stuff, and the wig just goes flying off. And
oh my God,
amazing! So yeah, it's the whole thing is ridiculous. I'm not sure. Be surprised because like everything that she does takes this like extreme left wing tilt. Like it feels like it's mocking the left. I don't know if it is or not. It's hard to tell, but she does have, there is one on like her YouTube channel where she has a an interview with the Buffalo Shaman at J6. Oh my God, that is like the two of them going back and forth. It was very, very impressive. If you want to like burn a few hours and kill a whole lot of brain cells, just look up Crackhead Barney on YouTube and check out some of her like videos and bullshit. Is fucking amazing.
That was pretty good. I can't shut up, Pierce.
Say free Palestine. Well, I would say free Palestine if you'd stop talking. Nope, not going to stop talking.
Oh, God. Yep. How's Alec Baldwin doing? I haven't heard. Is his trial underway yet?
I think. Didn't they throw it out? Or was that maybe the... Maybe that was not Alec Baldwin. That was Harvey Weinstein that they threw his shit out.
Yeah. Turns out they don't care that he raped a bunch of women anymore. This was pretty, this was unexpected. I didn't see this one coming, I'll be honest with you.
It's this also has gotten zero mainstream coverage. He's one of theirs. Like this whole thing, this whole thing of his conviction and everything else, it was all performative. None of this actually mattered. And nobody should have expected that any of it would stick long term. He's one of theirs. Like, they're not going to throw their own under the bus permanently. Like, they wait long enough for everything to kind of get under the radar. And then they take it to quietly take it to an appeals court and get a get a favorable appellate judge and jury, and then get it overturned and never talk about it. Like, outside of this Zero Hedge article, I don't think I've seen anything about it at all. Like, they're not
maybe like something on Twitter, but it might have even just been the Zero Hedge posting it on Twitter. And if I understand it correctly from this article, the reason it was overturned was because they had testimony from other people that kind of were, that were like character testimonies, you know, to show that he was like, yeah, he abused them too, but they weren't named in the lawsuit. And so he didn't get a fair trial somehow because there were extra people there telling him, telling the jury that he was a piece of shit.
Right. Basically, the prosecution made the mistake of bringing too much evidence of what a terrible person he was.
Right. Just like, it's like, wait a minute. That's, doesn't that happen in like every trial where they just bring in character witnesses? Like, this guy's a real piece of shit. Here's the person that he raped. And then here's like seven other people that were also like abused by him. But, you know, that's just like a little extra, but this is who's on trial right now. What? I've never heard of this before. Have you?
Yeah, this is nuts. Well, and what's really crazy about it is this was at a, of course, in New York. They took this to a court in New York. So they got it out of California where everything happened and where it was a big deal. And they took it to an appeals court in New York. How does that fucking work? That, like, because he was convicted in California. Like, everything happened in California. Like, we're not even talking about like same district, same region, same like fucking anything. Like, how does it get moved from California to New York for the appeal? Because if the appeal had happened in California, there would have been enough of the like the Me Too Hollywood crowd that would have, you know, found out about the appeal, that would have like raised hell if it was in California. But, you know, they were able to move it to New York and fly it under the fucking radar.
Right. And yes. And yeah, the same New York that's currently going after Donald Trump, not for raping anybody. No.
Yeah. For paying Stormy Daniels.
Yeah. And so this, attorney general, it was Bragg.
Yeah.
He's going to have to decide whether or not to bring these charges again to try to retry this thing for Harvey Weinstein. I wonder if that's going to happen. Or do you think they're just going to focus on the real bad guy, Donald Trump? How many women did fucking Harvey Weinstein rape? It was like half of Hollywood.
Yeah, a bunch.
And of course, pictures with Obama, pictures with Oprah, pictures with fucking the Clinton. He's got, you know, like you said, he's one of theirs.
He raped Gavin Newsom's wife in like 2005 or something, according to the article. Like,
Jesus. Yeah. Fucking unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable. yeah. Yeah. That is an odd way. If he had just raped her,
everything would have been fine.
Yeah, as long as they brought like additional evidence, a couple extra character witnesses,
right,
that said Trump was a really bad guy. There's no shortage of that in New York. Trump was mean to me. He said these bad things. Oh, that's too much. He didn't get a fair trial. That is fucking wild, man. That is fucking wild. But I'm sure that there was no money that changed hands or anything. And I bet you there were just these above board tax returns and everything where he paid his attorney and those were just attorney fees and he didn't grease any fucking palms in New York or anything like that. Any palms in fucking California to get the trial to moot. Like, there's not going to be a line item on his tax return that says, you know, money to get my trial moved to New York. It'll say attorney fees.
Loan repayment.
Yeah. Right. Oh my God, dude.
That's all you got to do. If you just write the correct thing on the four line on your check, then
yeah, that's evidence. The memo. It's binding, legally binding. How long was, what did he do? Like 2 years in fucking prison or something?
I don't even think that.
When was Me Too? Was that 2020? Is it 4 years ago? Longer. It might have been longer. But it took him a while to actually get convicted and everything.
Right. And I don't think they had him in prison for all of that. I think he was
in like some, you know, that fucking plush place that all the fucking rich fucks get to go to. It's like a retirement. Like you would, if you were able to spend like a fucking a week there, you would consider it like the best vacation of your life. There's like a spa, masseuse, all this shit. It's like one of those like fancy rehab places. Unreal.
His conviction was in 2022.
Okay. Didn't even do 2 years. Or maybe 2 years if it was early 2022.
December of 2022. So a year, basically.
Jesus Christ, man. That is fucking insane. And where are all the women? You guys upset about this one or we're good now? We're good on the Me Too thing? Because... what he did was like some pretty egregious shit. Pretty fucking egregious. Wow. But, you know, at least he doesn't send out mean tweets. He didn't joke around and talk about grabbing him by the pussy. He just, you know, forced himself on all these women. Forced oral copulation. There's all kind of like, read some of these fucking reports on this. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. And yeah, does a year, gets it overturned. All right. Yeah.
Fucking insane.
Yeah. We got anything else?
We got a few things that what do you want to wind up on? We got two that are really funny that would make for a good closing. And I just, which one do you want to go with? We've got learning how to walk like a woman, and we've got Chris Christie making quite possibly the
most. I think we can do both of those. I think we can do both.
Which one do you want to start with? Let's start with Chris Christie, because it's just straight up. All right. For those of you who have ever like just seen Chris Christie, listen to this little sound bite.
A criminal trial is a really awful thing to go through. And if you look at Trump physically right now, he looks terrible.
Dude, like somebody should have just held up a mirror and been like, you sure this is the right thing to say?
Yeah. So I thought this was the other clip where he was talking about how he wished Vivek and Donald Trump had to like battle to the death or something. Did you see that one?
No, where was that?
It was that same interview. I guess it was like a couple minutes before that or a couple minutes after it. I don't know if I flagged it, but he's like, and she's like, actually, you want them to actually die? And he's like, yeah.
<She's> like, these are like the best baseball pictures ever. Oh my God.
Oh my God, dude. How did he get into those pants?
I don't even understand what's going on like right here. His like where does his upper torso end and his like
that is yeah, that fupa is what he looks like the chick from the blueberry girl from Willy Wonka. Like oh my God. Yeah, but Donald Trump looks like shit. He's right. Fupa from the chin down. Dude, you got to find. I just assumed. I didn't even click on that because I was like, oh, I saw this one. It's the one where he's just like, I want Trump dead. Trump and Vivek dead. And he just said it so matter-of-factly. It's pretty interesting. But yeah, I guess you can joke about that and poke fun at Trump's weight. And by the way, isn't how old is Christie? Trump's probably like 10 or 15 years older than him, right?
Yeah.
Christie's not even going to make it to 78. Like, there's no way.
Right. He does not look good at all. Like, yeah, here's the clip you were talking about. I hadn't seen this one.
I would have preferred any of those people over Trump. Ramaswamy and Trump, I would have hoped for a death match. Where they both die.
A literal death match.
Where they both die.
That's like not even funny. I don't know. Like, I don't care that he's joking or like, oh, I want them both to die. Like that, like whatever. But like people legitimately thought that was like, you chuckled at that. 61. Okay. Yeah. So if Chris Christie lost 10 pounds a year for the next 17 years, he would still be fatter than Donald Trump. Is Trump 78?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, he could lose an entire me and still look worse than Donald Trump.
Yeah,
oh, that's wild, dude. That is if you just look at him physically, he looks terrible. Well, I guess he would know. Take it from the fucking Jesus, dude. I forgot about those baseball pictures. That's crazy, dude.
I mean,
every
picture of Chris Christie ultimately looks like that. Like, man, when they had him on the debate stage, it's like, y'all need a bigger podium to hide some of that.
Like, yeah. It was just like after like 10 minutes, he can't stand it. He's just leaning on the fucking. It's like, we're not supposed to break for another 15 minutes, but it looks like Chris needs a break, needs a chair. And can we reinforce that podium?
And I'm sure he was one of them that was suggesting or that was doing the Krispy Kreme giveaways for getting your COVID 100%. Shot.
Yeah, how many doses did he get just to get free donuts? It's like, this will work. This will work on half of America. Oh, we didn't even get to the
18 people here in Connecticut have been hospitalized with an inflammatory heart condition possibly linked to the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. This morning, NBC Connecticut's Jennifer Joe spoke with parents, including one whose child was diagnosed with the condition.
The Department of Public Health says there were 18 reported cases right here in Connecticut.
The first case at Connecticut Children's was Rachel Hatton's 17-year-old son, Gregory.
That's terrifying.
Rachel told us over the phone this morning that her son started complaining of severe chest pain 3 days after his second dose. It worsened on the fourth day and led to back pain. So Gregory went to a walk-in clinic where they ran blood work and did an x-ray. They discovered he had inflammation of the lining outside the heart. A spokesperson from Connecticut Children's says patients have presented with both pericarditis and myocarditis, which is the inflammation of the heart muscle. Gregory was transferred to St. Mary's Hospital in Waterbury and then to Connecticut Children's in Hartford.
They hooked him up to a heart monitor, did EKGs, they did echocardiograms. Infectious disease actually came and ran their own set of blood work. They tested him for all sorts of things. And one by one, those tests came back negative.
Doctors still couldn't say if his condition was related to the COVID vaccine, but they called him back for an MRI after two more patients presented with similar symptoms. Gregory is now out of work, on medication, and hooked up to a heart monitor. Doctors are planning to do another MRI in June to see if his condition improves.
I get nervous because I just don't know what else could happen. You know, he basically has a heart condition now, and it's terrifying.
Yeah. 17 hooked up to a fucking machine. Safe and effective.
Actively giving our kids heart conditions. Good job.
Yeah. Like, we weren't doing a good enough job of that on our own. Stuffing our fucking faces with double cheeseburgers and big gulps. Did you see that article I sent you from Japan?
Yeah.
I don't know if we have time to get through that. It's kind of a long one.
I'd say the short of it is excess deaths in Japan hit 115,000 following the third COVID shot.
Yeah, and that first part, just read how many people were involved in the study. Like, this is the biggest study of its kind so far.
Five Japanese scientists used an entire data set of the country's 123 million population. Japan has the highest vaccination rate in the world to study excess cancer mortalities coinciding with mass COVID vaccination. The authors also provided a sound explanation as why these deaths occurred after the mRNA injection. You should definitely link this one.
Yeah, I'll link to this because, yeah, we're not going to have time to do it justice. But
yeah, basically what they're looking at is, and this is one of the things that, like, the pro-vax retards don't understand is, like, the excess death rates and stuff. So, like, when they're looking at the statistics of how cancer rates, death rates, all of that stuff were trending prior to all of this, and then like literally the only thing that changes is now you add all of these shots, and then all of a sudden you start seeing way higher death rates, way higher cancer rates, way higher heart condition rates. Like, the only thing that changed was they added these shots, and now all of this stuff start, and it's, yeah, there's a lot of details in this that it's like it's hard to keep running with a safe and effective narrative whenever, like, this kind of stuff is coming out all over the world. Like, Israel had some early reporting on this because Israel had, like, a virtually 100% vaccination rate early on. Yeah. And they were seeing a lot of this same stuff, like, literally in 2021, as soon as they were rolling.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that study. Yeah.
And that just, yeah, memory hold. Like, they just stopped talking about it. Like, because Israel was being rolled out and touted as, like, this big COVID vax success story. And then all of the data started coming out with the side effects. And then they just, like, killed that and stopped and never talked about Israel again.
Yeah. Well, imagine what the vaccination rate would be if that one news story that we just ran from Connecticut was running. Just that one story was running in 2021 on every fucking station for, like, a week straight. It's over. The whole fucking $1 trillion money pump for fucking Pfizer is over. But no. Fauci, speaking of politicians throwing a fucking baseball.
Oh, God.
Get out of here on this one.
Yeah, this will have to be it, because I gotta get my shit together and head to work.
Yeah. He's throwing out the opening pitch. He gets it. Like, I'm not exaggerating. That's like 20% of the way up the first baseline is where that lands.
He didn't even hit the batter's box. Like, he's.
You could put two more batter's boxes to the left and he still would miss them. This is, like, crazy bad form.
I don't even know how the ball went that direction. Like,
he's never thrown a ball like that. If somebody that throws a baseball like that should never be in charge of anything. I'm sorry. That's just, like, a basic. You cannot be a fucking American, an American man, and throw like that. It's impossible, dude. You cannot be a real human being.
There should be a few, like minimum requirements to serve in any sort of an official position where you're in charge of shit. Like, throw a baseball and hit, you know, something, just a target in general. You don't have to throw a perfect strike, but just hit a target. Be able to lift 50 pounds, like, get punched in the face, like, just a few like minimum things to prove that you're, like, actually physically capable of of being a normal human being. Like, if you can't do these three, if you can't hit something with a baseball, pick up 50 pounds and take a punch. You probably just go the fuck on somewhere else.
Oh man, that'd be so funny if like somebody got like one person gets to punch each politician. Could you imagine how much money they would raise? Like, dude, how much would you pay to be able to punch a politician?
Oh man, put it in a raffle. Like, yeah. Everybody pays 10 bucks and your name goes in a pot. You can
pay off the fucking national debt, dude.
Right? It's like, hey, so from now on, whenever somebody gets elected, before they're allowed to take office, they have to stand there and get punched in the face. And everybody can pay $10 as many times as you want, throw your name in the pot. We're going to draw a name. Whoever it is, you get to go up and punch them before they take office.
I would say it could even be a gut punch, too, because that could be equally hilarious. A liver shot or something. It has to be above the belt. One punch. Oh, my God, dude. Which politician would you pick? Oh, yeah, dude. That is the punch assassination of Biden was fucking hilarious. That is a great bet, dude. Shane Gillis is fucking hilarious. Yeah, Joe Biden's the first president that you could punch assassinate. He probably would die.
Yeah,
he would absolutely die.
I mean,
well, then you wouldn't sign up for it. Like, you wouldn't run because you can't take a punch. That eliminates like everybody that's in Washington right now.
Yeah, if somebody punched me in the head, I might die. I probably should avoid that.
Yeah, it builds character too. Puts them in their fucking place. I like this idea. We could turn this country around. One election cycle. One fucking cycle. Everybody has to get fucking punched once.
And that's why y'all listen to Peddling Fiction for all of the solutions to this country's problems.
That's right. Everybody listen to me. We'll turn this fucking ship around. All right, you got anything going on this weekend?
Nope. Nothing that I can think of. I'm trying to plan some shit for next week, because I will be off during the early part of the week next week. So hopefully I can get something put together. But as of right now, I don't have anything nailed down.
Dude, I think I'd want to punch Elizabeth Warren. I think that might be my go-to. It's hard to say, though. Maxine Waters would be a good one.
Oh,
Chris Christie. Dude, who would – you need some big dude to punch Chris Christie. He's so fucking fat.
Butterbean? Can we get Butterbean?
Could you imagine? Like, we hold elections. Sorry to get back into this because it's such a great idea. We hold elections to see who, like, of the raffle winners, we hold elections to see who we want to actually go through with it. Winning the raffle doesn't guarantee you get the punch. Because, like, what if some little bitch wins? Like, some 12-year-old kid. No. Like, we want Mike Tyson throwing that fucking punch on somebody.
Or if the 12-year-old kid wins, then that means that Andre or that
he can have somebody do it for him.
Yeah, he gets to pick who throws the punch.
Yeah.
Or like, if he refuses to pick, then you just have some like giant person use him to hit them, like grab him by the leg and hit them with him. And
yes, the winner of the raffle gets to assign a puncher to punch the politician of their choice.
See, then you're going to get people like Jake Shields and Conor McGregor and like,
yeah,
like, pick me.
Of course.
Then you will have like one punch death of politicians.
How else are you going to get them out of office, dude? Like, they refuse to fucking leave. All right, we're going to punch your fucking lights out.
Oh,
I really think this is going somewhere. I'm going to run on this. This is my campaign stump. This is my stump.
My can't stump, denounce your citizenship.
Punch a politician. Of course, I'd have to take a punch.
Yep.
I would be part of it. I'm sure there'd be people lining up.
I've taken a few. I think I'll be all right. Let's do this.
All right. Well, I guess that's going to do it for us today. Happy Friday, everybody. Enjoy your weekend. I will link to that article in the description and the Substack. Follow us on Twitter. Our handles are right there. Support the show in any way you can. Share the show. Support punching a politician. I think that could really, really go a long way to solving the world's problems. It could catch on. What if the entire world just adopts this? The sky is the limit. And if you guys do all that for us, we will be back on Tuesday to do this all over again. And until then, just keep on peddling that so-called fiction. Peace.